Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and stay tuned for Pastor Risnacko, who will be coming on at 2 o'clock with his program, and another good program with Pastor Lutz here just before us there at the 1 o'clock hour. This is a good hour and a half here on the radio, I think, and I get to be right in the middle of it, I guess. Well, I trust you had a blessed Christmas and a wonderful time as you celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then looking forward to the coming new year, another year in which to serve our Lord, and it's hard to believe that it's the end of the year already. Doesn't feel like it out there. It was like 53 degrees, I think, when I walked in from my car to the studio here, and I'm not complaining, that's for sure. I'll take this, but the weatherman says it's going to get cold after the weekend, or I guess on the weekend. It's going to start dropping after today, really, and then we're going to have some cold weather and some snow and all that stuff that keeps the big bugs down south. So, anyway, this is northeastern Ohio, wintertime, but we're that much closer to spring. So I hope you'll be able to stay with us this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just pray that you would bless the program today, guide us and direct us, help us to lift up and glorify Christ in the things that we talk about. And again, we just pray that you would bless and watch over us. Now use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, lots to talk about, and at the end of the year, it's always you try to think of what should you talk about closing out the year, looking forward to the new year, and of course, you know, we always talk about Christmas and then speculating the things of the new year and encourage people to read their Bibles and make a determination in the coming year. If you faltered on your Bible reading, to try to get back on track here with the coming of the new year. A lot of people make resolutions and a lot of people break resolutions, but it's always good to at least to shoot for something. Somebody once said it's better to aim for something and miss than to aim for nothing and hit. And so that's, we try to encourage you to make a resolution or just make a determination that this year you are going to get settled into a Bible reading program. And I'll be talking about that Sunday night on our program this Sunday night at 11 o'clock. I'm planning to talk about a Bible reading program. That'll be our last Sunday of the, or our last radio program of the year. And then after that, of course, we will be joining with you again in the new year, 2019, on Friday, Lord willing. So I hope you'll be able to stay tuned Sunday night, 11 o'clock. We'll be talking about Bible reading and some Bible reading plans. So just give you a little overview there. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. On our Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And I'll be putting some of those Bible reading plans and programs and things like that up on our website and our Facebook page as well. So you can check back. And of course, as always, if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, you can find past programs. So if you miss this Sunday's program, I will hopefully be getting it up online fairly soon so that if you want to try and start off the new year with a Bible reading program, perhaps it'll help you become faithful to study the Word of God. The Bible says we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Can't do it unless you open the book. Well, we'll be talking about that, like I said, on Friday, but today I wanted to touch on a couple of things before we get into something here that I want to talk about that I think is important to remember in light of the two things I'm going to mention. We have three things I'm going to mention. Let me start first off. So far as I know, last I've heard, there's been nothing that's happened, no movement today on the Pastors Protection Act. House Bill 36, sadly, appears to have died in committee. And certainly for those of you who are in Cuyahoga County, in Senator Dolan's district, you may want to contact him and express your disappointment. Probably he's one man there's others that are complicit, but he certainly is a key figure as the vice chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee who opposed the bill. He thought that it was discriminatory, and he just didn't like the bill. My personal belief is that he was courting the LGBTQ community, thinking that they would support him, and if he voted for the bill, he would alienate them. But at the same time, apparently in his run for the seat, he try to at least somewhat. I'm not in his district, so I'm not as familiar with his campaign, but I've had several people that are more familiar with him express surprise that he did not support the bill and did not support the evangelical community because they thought that he would. And he didn't want the bill to come up to a vote in the committee, because if he voted against it, then the conservatives and the evangelical community would have been upset with him. If he'd have voted for it, then the LGBTQ community would have been upset with him, and he's trying to ride the fence, currying favor with both of them. And so I would strongly suggest that if you're in his district, that you contact him and let him know that you're disappointed in his performance. Also, Senator Dolan was complicit in the failure of the Ohio Senate to override the veto, Governor Kasich's veto of the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill was passed overwhelmingly in the House and a good majority in the Senate. And then, of course, Governor Kasich said that he would veto it like he did the last time it landed on his desk. He vetoed it. And then the Ohio House, they voted to overturn it. And Ohio is kind of unique. There's only a few states where both the House and the Senate have to vote to overturn a governor's veto. And so the House voted, 61 to 28 to override Governor Kasich's veto. The Senate came up one vote shy of what they needed. They voted 19 to 13, and you say, well, wait a minute, that's a majority, isn't it? Well, it's not a simple majority. I forget what the percentage is, but it's not a simple majority, and they were one vote shy of the percentage needed to overturn it. Senator Beagle, a Republican of Tipp City, Ohio, from that area, he cast the deciding vote that led to the override failure. Now, Beagle voted to advance the bill out of committee. He also voted for its passage when it came to the floor, and then he stated that he voted against the veto override by saying, quote, there should be a standard. There's a standard for a bill to pass, and I think there's a higher standard for it to be overridden if it's vetoed. And in looking at House Bill 258, I just didn't think it met the standard, especially when you've got a governor-elect who's considering signing a bill in the next General Assembly. That's a whole lot of nonsense. If he thought that the bill was worth voting out of committee, if he thought the bill was worth voting for in the Senate General Assembly there, and to send it to Kasich's desk in the first place, then he thought that the bill was a good bill. Otherwise, why'd he vote for it in the first place? Well, he voted for it, and then, of course, he voted against it, saying it didn't meet some standard. So, well, the standard is that if a certain majority of the House and a certain majority of the Senate believe that it should pass or that it should be instituted over the governor's veto, then that's the standard. Well, why didn't he go with the rest of that body? And he could have voted for it. And if you're believing that Governor-elect DeWine is going to come in and vote for this bill when it's introduced in the next session of Congress, why not just save the time and let it go through now? It's already been through the House. It's already been through the Senate. It's already been to the governor's desk. Why couldn't he have voted to override the veto and save lives? Well, the blood of unborn children that could have been saved from this bill is on the hands of Senator Beagle and Governor Kasich, and of course Senator Dolan, because Senator Dolan, of course, could have voted for this bill as well, for the veto override as well, but he did not. One other bill that I wanted to mention, at least there is a positive thing here that came out. There was a bill outlawing dismemberment form of abortion, and this was Senate Bill 145, which prohibits doctors from performing dilation evacuation abortions, which is an abortion method most used when women are between 13 and 24 weeks pregnant. It basically involves tearing the unborn child limb from limb and extracting it piece by piece from the womb. And though the law makes exceptions for cases where the mother's life is in danger, the bill was passed, and the governor signed it into law. And so that is a win. That's a plus there. So we thank God for that. And you know, it is nice that there are restrictions on this just heinous form of abortion where live babies are ripped limb from limb, just literally ripped apart and killed. There's 9 other states that ban this form of abortion, and so, you know, glad Ohio has joined that list. The number of abortions, thankfully, in the United States has reached a historic low. And I think some of that is because people are becoming more and more aware of what an abortion is. It's the ending of a human life. Now, we cannot say that the unborn child is not alive. We cannot say that it's not human. I mean, if it's not human, what is it? If it's not alive, then why do you need an abortion? If it's not alive, it would not be growing. It would not be maturing inside the womb. The unborn child is a living human being merely at a different stage of life, just like you and I are at a different stage of life than that unborn child, just like the person that reaches old age, they become, you know, in their 80s, 90s, even hundreds, and their body is not functioning the way that it used to when they were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And different stages of life, and life needs to be protected. And in Psalm 139, I just wanted to touch on this a few minutes here, and Psalm 139, just to read this verse again, because it's clear it's a human life. And people say, well, when does life begin? Well, the Bible indicates it begins at conception. Psalm 139 says here in we'll start in verse 13, where it says, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And he's talking about an unborn child here. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." And then he says this in verse 16, and I think this is very important. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, this is what's amazing. We have 23 pairs of genes, 40 or pairs of chromosomes, I guess we could say, 46 chromosomes. And at the moment of conception, the mother provides 23 and the father provides 23. And the moment of conception, and they've shown this scientifically now, they've actually shown this starting with mice and other studies and all initially, but here's what happens at the moment of conception. There's a reaction that takes place across the surface of the egg, and across the surface of the egg, there are these receptors that hold zinc ions, and those receptors release those zinc ions, and at the moment of conception, they fluoresce. Those zinc ions are released across the surface of the egg. A fluorescent light shines forth from the egg all around the surface of the egg. It just shines forth, and it just kind of goes in waves and everything. You can go online and you can see some video where they've shown this using animals such as mice and things like that, where they were able to actually show it and demonstrate it. But yeah, isn't this amazing that God literally has a light show that takes place at the moment of conception? And here's the other thing that happens at the moment of conception. The 23 chromosomes from the father, the 23 chromosomes from the mother combine into a unique set of chromosomes. And you now have your perfect complement, 23 pairs, 46 chromosomes that are joined together. And there's a book that is written. The DNA is an actual language. It has all of the criteria of language. It has syntax. It has grammar. It has punctuation. And that's is something that we've learned. And then over top of that, there's the epigenetic language that determines how the book is read. If you can imagine it this way, if you're holding your Bible in your hand and it's written in English and somebody says, now read it in French, and then you look at your Bible and it's in French, and then you say, now read it in Russian, and it's in Russian. That's basically what the epigenetic language does with the DNA. It tells it how it's to be read, and it changes the meanings of some of the things that are there. And all of this goes together, and it translates, and it produces proteins, which in again and of themselves, there's another language there with the amino acids and the proteins. But all of that is written at the moment of conception, and that's where the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. It hasn't been perfected yet. And then, of course, that fertilized egg begins to divide, and then to divide again and again, and then to differentiate into the various forms which produce then the arms, the legs, the head, the spinal cord, and all the different parts and organs and everything come together. And in thy book, all my members were written, he says, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Because at the moment of conception, the DNA is written and provides the book that tells how to build that new human being, a new human life. It doesn't have to wait until some point in time where it becomes a human life. It doesn't have to wait till some point in time where it becomes alive. It is alive, or you wouldn't need an abortion. You don't have to wait for it to become human. It's absolutely human. Its DNA is human. It's a distinct human being for the mother. So all these things, well, it's the mother's body. That's all that counts is the mother's opinion because it's her body. No, it's not her body. It's a distinct human being contained within the body of another human being. And so it's a different form of life than the life that's hosting it. It is a unique living human being and just at a different stage of development. And God says that this is a human being that he sees. And he let the world know when that human life came into being with a light show that rippled across the surface of that egg at the moment of conception. Now, if you can't see the miraculous in that and the hand of God and understand that abortion is the taking of a human life, if you're going to justify abortion, you have to justify when is it reasonable? When is it acceptable? When is it necessary? When is it a case of preference where you should be allowed to take another human life and end it? Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al here on AM 1220, The Word, and I just wanted to share that with you. This is why those bills were so important. Keep praying, and hopefully the heartbeat bill will be back in the next session, and Governor-elect DeWine, when he's governor, will sign it. So keep praying that Ohio will be on the vanguard of states protecting human life. All right, well, we're going to get a caller in here today, and we're switching gears. We've got Cynthia calling in today. Cynthia, thank you for waiting.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, we're on the air. What's your question for us today?
Okay, there is a ministry on the station on 1220 AM, and they're the only ones I hear talking about how we have all these Muslim training areas in the United States.
Right.
Talk about what I call the Democrat Socialists. And I don't know if I should be listening to that because I don't even hear anybody else saying that. They're the only ones saying that. They're going to be popping out, you know. It's going to be like it is in Europe.
Well, they are correct. There are Muslim training camps in America. You know, I'm only on for a short period of time, half hour on Friday and an hour on Sunday night. And we have touched on that in our program. I have to admit that, although I know I'm not the program you're talking about. But so we don't get to talk about
who it is, because that would not be good, right?
Yeah, no, but what I'm talking about is the Muslim training camps are real, and law enforcement is aware of them. In some cases, they have investigated them, but really starting in President George W. Bush's tenure, and then certainly in the Obama years, there was a pressure put upon law enforcement in this country to separate Islam from terrorism. Now, the Quran commands followers to commit jihad, and there's various forms of jihad. There's civilizational jihad, which the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, is very much engaged in, along with the Muslim Brotherhood, and we see evidence of that in attitudes towards Islam and terrorism. But the Quran actually tells that followers of Allah are to strike terror into the hearts of unbelievers. And if you live in a non-Muslim land, according to Islam, you live in the house of war. And everybody that's not a Muslim in that house of war is not an innocent, they are an enemy. And the Quran commands that the enemies of Islam, like I said, strike terror in their hearts, kill them until they submit or they convert to Islam. And so when you look at that and you see that violent jihad is every bit a part of Islam in the Quran and the Hadiths and all of these things as is civilizational jihad and other aspects of Islam, it's understandable that they are training because they have a very evangelistic faith in the sense that they want to convert the entire world. They will not rest until the entire world is submitted to Allah. Remember, Islam means submission, and a Muslim, Ma'islam, is one who submits. And everyone who's in submission. And if you are not a Muslim, you are not in submission. You are an enemy of Islam, and you are not an innocent. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, a child, you are not an innocent. And so Muslims can piously intone, we do not support the terrorist attacks on innocents. Well, yeah, they can say that, but they don't believe that, for instance, a 9/11, they don't believe that was a terror attack on innocents. That was a terror attack on enemies, and it was justified by the Quran. I hear music coming, and yeah, it's something that there's a great organization out there called Act Cleveland. You can go online, just Google them. You'll find them online at Cleveland. And they have meetings. They talk about this, and they have a wealth of information. You can just find ACT America. You can find them online. Wealth of information out there. But the camps are real. They've been documented. There's people in those camps that if they had the opportunity, they would like to try violent Islam, or jihad. But yes, they're succeeding right now with civilizational jihad. But the end result is all the same. They want to convert the world to Islam. But appreciate you bringing that up, Cynthia. And we'll talk more, but unfortunately, got about 5 seconds left. We're out of time. Thanks for listening today. God bless. Happy New Year.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.